Thank you.
We'll open in prayer.
Yeah, I give you my peace, and Ultraviolet is our host. Take it away.
Okay, let us open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for all you have given to us. And we are so very thankful to be your children and wish to do your will. Please be with all of us that have issues, be it medical, financial, whatever it is, Father, please watch over us and let us keep our peace. We pray for those, dear Heavenly Father, that need our help in eternity and those that on earth need our help also, and we are able to. So we ask you to be with us in this night, and we thank you again for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank
Thank you.
you. All right. So I got Father's message. And here's what he said. My dear children, welcome. I give you my love and my peace. This world is now spinning more out of control than ever before. The time of the second dark ages is nearly upon us. What does that mean? More evil in this world, more sin. More anger and hatred towards each other. Satan is stirring up hearts against one another. Racism is his oldest tactic, and many are buying into that idea again. Nation hates nation. Political parties hate each other, not only here in the US, but across the world. The spirit of this world is division. You will not be divided. You are one with Triland. And the three of us. Remember, you are not of this world. Do not think as they do. Do not act as they do. And do not judge as they do. You are above all of this. I need you to love every soul as we love them. Serve them again with grace and understanding. Know that all of them are being influenced by evil. You will stand on the outside of chaos and remain focused on your tasks at hand. You will not allow yourselves to be drawn into the confusion. Do not participate in any of this. I am giving you a commandment. Do not. Stay pure and holy. Your energy is not of this world. Again, I remind you that you are a new creature, that I formed you. Into when you took the guardian vow. Should we remind you of that vow? It is a good reminder. The guardian vow. I believe I serve in the name of the living God, our Father. I believe I will preach the word of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first Son of God. I believe I will receive guidance from the Holy Spirit to fulfill the tasks of my guardianship. I believe I stand in the power and authority given to me from Triland, the second Son of God, of the living God, and will serve alongside him until the completion of Father's plan of salvation. I vow to fulfill the following tasks at hand. One, protect the bride of Christ. Two, defend the apostles' doctrine. Three, help bring the bride home. Four, love and serve my neighbor as myself. Five, I will make an effort to not judge. I will serve all of mankind here on earth and in eternity. I joyfully accept all the gifts the Lord God, my Father, has bestowed upon me. I will endeavor to search and unlock their powers. I will accept all assignments and I will try to fulfill them with a loving heart and to the best of my abilities. I am convicted. That I am truly appointed as a chief guardian of the living God of our Father to serve mankind. We have Numbers 32 as our guardian vow. If I make a vow, or I'm sorry, if a person makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind themselves by something or some agreement, they shall not break their word. They shall do according to all that proceeds out of their mouths. This is what you vowed to me over 2 years ago. Do you remember it? Does it live in your hearts? Please burn this into your soul. This is your driving force to do good in a world that is drowning in evil. Stay on the outside of it. Do not be lulled by it. Satan wishes that all of you fall, and if you do, that will only give him more time to wreak havoc on the world. Do not listen to him or any spirit of influence. Discern everything you hear and feel. You are like a sharp-edged sword slicing through lies and deceit in front of you. You will know the truth of every matter by using the gifts I have given you. Be active where you can be. Help those around you. Do not judge them because of their moment of weakness. Love, and serve each other as I have served you. Be the example Jesus gave you. You know more than others do. Why? Because I have taught you. I have opened your eyes to see clearly. You are not blind as this world is. You are not selfish or self-centered. You are selfless. You serve out of love and compassion. Be you. Be the guardian I know you are. We love and support you, and would you please come and see us? That's what Father had to say. Any questions? Any comments?
That's a beautiful word. Now I can shave off my Civil War beard.
Well, there you go.
That was
No,
beautiful.
How wonderful does it tie into today's service, right? That
I was
we
thinking.
serve others, and how it mentions in James, right? How James mentioned faith without works, that we can go and tell someone somebody who's hungry, hey, we'll pray for you. Don't worry, go in peace. You'll find food, right? As opposed to helping them and serving them, right? I think it's important that we are servants and that we do not allow ourselves to get caught up in this. It's really easy too, like everybody cries out for injustice, right? Injustice is a rallying cry to many groups, right? And we want to be righteous, right? But the Lord is righteous. He's the only one that's righteous. He's the one that justifies himself through the blood of Christ, right? And so when things occur, we just have to let the power of God take place and bring stillness. It's just, if someone comes and curses at you, and this is, I'm speaking to myself first, right? Because I'm from New Jersey. So if somebody, likes to, talk to me in a fashion, then New Jersey comes out. But the Spirit came through the word today. Pray for them out loud when someone's insulting you. Pray for them. Bless them. Bless them that curse you, as the Lord said, right? Be a servant. Do not allow yourself to be drawn down by this. It's so important. I mean, like, we look all over the world. Bangladesh is a mess. They're killing Hindus left and right. And it's just unbelievable, the things that occur in the world. And then you go, well, you know what? This is what I can't. You pray for that, but you can't get drawn into that. Like, you're gonna go and add to it. It doesn't help. Amen.
Fired. I thought it was nice that Father had us review the vow we took. I actually read through it a couple times after he gave me this message. It's a very good reminder for all of us and what we're here for, and to stay out of the mess that is this world, because it's just going to get messier than it currently is.
I have a question. Do Blazar help me with this? I'm not quite sure. The messages from our district apostle, those videos about politics, is that available to everyone?
Not yet. It will be probably like the end of the year.
Ugh.
Like, I heard something like in November, September, or something like that.
Well, I don't know. I think that I just want to send him because
Why didn't
he's
send them?
had three, and the third one is absolutely amazing. It is like black and white, cut and dry. We're not of the world, so we should not be having discord with anybody. And it's, I mean, I don't even want to try to paraphrase it because it's so good.
Where are you seeing this?
It's their videos that are they're sent to, they're available on Minister Companion.
Yeah, their communications from the district council.
Say that again?
Their communications from the district council to the ministers.
Right.
So
for the ministers right now, okay.
Yeah, they're not available to members yet.
No, they will. No. It'll come out. Yeah, he wants to make sure that the ministers get this and the ministers start
incorporating
absorbing it. Absorbing it and incorporating it, and then he's going to roll it out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we want to be careful, but I think that we can share some of the stuff. I mean, we're supposed to be sharing it, but I guess I wish I had been more prepared to do that because they're so amazing. They help us to see that we're in the world, but not of it. And in fact, today our opening song, I can't remember the words. It's a song that we've sung so many times. And today was the first time that I got it because it talks about we do not promote discord. And I wish I would have been prepared for that too. I'm sorry. But, well, I'll send an email, with some of the thoughts that I had because it's so such a perfect song for today's environment that we're dealing with, especially in the United States. And Discord Posse even said, it's not just here, it's everywhere. I mean, that discord is everywhere. And I think it was in our letter. But we are now understanding discord.
Go ahead. So, Tri-Land emphasized grace to us. And I was looking at some of my dad's books, and the first definition is God's free and unmerited favor for sinful humanity. And that, we all have our own definition for grace, but for me, it has a lot to do with kindness, giving. If you have and somebody is in need, like we heard in service, Jerry, don't come to our church again because that's what we heard too. No, just kidding. Exactly what you said is what we heard.
Yeah.
And so I just was curious if anybody had their own definition of grace.
Well, we've heard it called undeserved love, mm-hmm. Because sometimes we feel we're not deserving of it, even though God grants it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that shoe fits on me, Diane.
Yeah. No.
But just wondering if anyone had...
A way to think about it is giving the benefit of the doubt, because we really don't know circumstances of anyone, really. We only know. Okay, so here's an example: someone cuts you off in a vehicle. You don't know what's going on in their vehicle. You don't know what's going on in their lives. You don't know the news that they just heard of a terrible thing. And they're crying and so something like that almost happens and we're ready to slug them. But grace is, I don't know the situation, but Father, whatever they're in, give grace. And
non-judgmental. Right. It would be non-judgmental.
Yep. But it's also when we are offended. Like when someone offends us.
Yeah.
We have two choices: to keep the offense or have grace and forgive and move on and not allow this to go, okay, You've offended me. I need to give grace. You know, sometimes people go out of their way to offend us, you know? Yeah. And so we need to be, go, okay, this is a test, you know? Do I fit pass the test or do I fail the test? Do I give grace or do I fall into the same cycle that humanity has for 2,000 years that has no success?
Yeah.
I know when I think of like giving grace, I just had the word pop in my head of selflessness, and I just looked up the meaning of it. And it's the quality of caring more about what other people need and want than about yourself. And so I feel like when you're offering people grace, right, you're taking yourself out of it, but then making their needs a little bit more. And then there was another one. If you're selfless, you think less about yourself and more about others. You're generous and kind. Being selfless is similar to being altruistic, another word for giving to others without looking for personal gain.
Nice. It kind of goes hand in hand with serving.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, a servant.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that was actually kind of brought out in church thing in my service. Nice. And
nice.
Priest Jordan was talking about how, you know, he said, you know, I have a really hard time with people who are standing on the side of the road asking for money, but they look healthy. And he said, in my mind, they look healthy. They shouldn't be doing this. And he said, but we have to just apply grace and realize that we don't know what their situation is. And in our word, in our service for today was, we should do good deed. And he said, so this is really hard for me, but I'm learning and I'm trying. And, you know, he was kind of talking about that. And then I left church and we used some of the stuff from my office. So I had to stop at my office to drop the things off, and there were two homeless guys, and they looked totally able-bodied, and it just kind of reminded me and went, oh, I just heard this, and I don't know what their situation is. And they asked me if I could give them 50 cents. And I said, well, I don't have change, but I can give you a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, that might work, he said.
We talked about the same kind of thing at dinner today with Pete Morey. You know, because we brought that up too, that, I mean, I don't have a problem if I have some to give to them, because it doesn't matter to me what they're going to do with it. It matters what I'm doing for them. You know what I mean? It's like, if someone's in need and I have it, take it. And it's up to you what you decide you need to do with it. But as we talked about that, Jamie's like, yeah, I kind of have second thoughts about, but I said, but sometimes it's not about what we think they're going to do with it. That's not our decision. And, you know, if we're giving it willingly and we're trying to help, the rest is on them, not on us.
Mm-hmm.
But,
perfectly said.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You know, and we talked about this on another call when we talked about how do we decide who to give and all that. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will tell us. But it's so nice that in the service today, it was stated that we are servants of God, all of us. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we have to defer to the Holy Spirit about everything. And we don't always do that because we have our own mind and we have our will and we know what we want. But if we are constantly, and I wish we could, I wish I could, striving to listen to the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus did. He was in perfect oneness with his Father, with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to do always. And it was interesting because I was talking with someone recently, and they mentioned that they don't really talk about their faith at work. And I think we even talked about this maybe on a past call, but, and you think to yourself, we have to be who Father needs us to be, regardless of our situation. And we have to do it more.
He said that in his message to us, be you.
Yes.
Be you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. When I think of grace, I think of tolerance and acceptance. Let me define. When I mean tolerance, we have to tolerate the fact that not everybody we come in contact is going to view life like you and I do. And we have to accept the fact that they're probably going to think things different than we are as well. It's not our place to make everybody believe and see the things that we do. And that's something that I think we forget and we take aside, and then we get angry when the other person just can't understand what we're trying to say or see things the way that we see them. That isn't our place. And Father's word, he ended his last line with, you are selfless. You serve out of love and compassion. So thank you for bringing grace up.
The opportunity.
Well,
Starlight said it's just like our marriage. You got to be a lot more grace.
No, because one of us will take the side and it's like a battle to the end because we're trying to make the other person see our point of view, even though we each have our own point of view or we're thinking the same thing. Right. But it's like this battle till death almost. It's like, it's bad.
It's true.
It is.
Well, and I think it was pretty amazing what our Heavenly Father said. Be you.
Yep.
And when you said that, that spoke volumes to me. He's not asking me to be somebody else. I don't have to do something that's not me. He's saying, be you. Be you. And that's who I've asked to be a guardian. Be you. And I thought that was just awesome. Because I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm good at a few things, but not a lot of things. And so it was just nice to hear he just wants me to be me. And in me, do this.
Right. His expectations are nothing like the expectations we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
At all. He never has to beat us up because we're doing it all on our own.
Yeah.
None of us have to be exactly the same or do things the same the way that he asks us to serve. We're all different and we all have our own gifts. So we're all going to do things differently, but we're just, you know, and he made us that way because obviously each one of us is supposed to be touching a different part or, you know, mankind or in eternity or whatnot.
And we also have a lot of help. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that helps us. Yes. And we have a whole bunch of angels that can help us. It's not that we're doing something on our own. We are doing something in the name of the Lord. And when we do something in the name of the Lord, we have power, we have authority, we have love, we have grace, we have compassion. It's not Jerry doing this.
In that vein of grace, Jesus and I went back into the realm of the evil souls a couple weeks ago. That's that realm that none of you are supposed to go and visit. just Jesus and I are taking care of it. And I actually was obedient this time. I just stood there and said nothing. Just want to throw that out there. And Jesus stood there and he looked at all of these souls and he said, Father is giving you a second chance. He does not offer that to everybody. And it is in your best interest to see that you need to change. And when you're ready to change, we will be here to help you. And that's all he said. And that's all he needed to say, right? Because the onus is placed on us. He doesn't have to do anything. We're the ones that have to see what we've done wrong. We're the ones that have to acknowledge that. And this morning, I know I've told everybody that when we are standing in the service and we have our sins forgiven, Jesus stands between us and the altar. And when you hear the words, your sins are forgiven, they get pulled out of us, and they go into him, and he takes them on. Today was the first time I saw him crying when that happened. And I looked at him and I said, what is the matter? And he said, there is so much more sin. I wish my brothers and sisters would fight harder.
Wow.
And not do this every time. And he shook his head as he walked back up behind the altar. And I have never seen him like
you
that.
You said, I wish my brothers and sisters would what harder?
Try harder. That. Try harder to not sin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So I was like,
wow.
Okay. So I wanted to share something that we had another minister from another congregation. That doesn't really matter who it was. And I talked with him briefly about the district apostle, the most recent video. And in the most recent video, what the district apostle said about, discord and politics, especially because it's so ugly right now in the world, and you know, one side hates the other and the other side hates the other, and everybody is, you know, they're wrong and they're wrong, and it's just, it's so ugly. And he basically said we cannot get involved, and he's talking about we as children of God, the bride of Christ, new apostolic Christians, cannot hang our hat on someone in this world. We have to be connected with Father and realize that our goal is not this world. We're just going through this world. It's not about this world. We have to get to where we need to get to. And he said, he even said, it's childish that people are fighting over this stuff. We can't do it. And when I heard that a year ago, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
How much of an experience of faith is it and our connection with Father that we were talking about this a year ago, and now we're hearing it from our leadership. And I shared with this other minister who served today, talking about that. And when we were done with the conversation, I was a little bit sad because he said, no, we can, you know, be involved with that. And, you know, we have to vote. We have to do our civil duty for sure. But if we connect ourselves and invest ourselves in this world like that, we have to be careful. And he said, you know, there's someone in our congregation who is way that way and the other one is way that way. But in church, they're civil. That's important that they are. But if we are so invested in it, that's the thing that saddens me, because people think, well, yeah, but we're still here, so we have to do this, and you know, but those others, they're wrong, and we have to be so careful. And I really want to, I think I want to just listen to that and maybe paraphrase it, because if it's not going to be available to us until the end of the year, that's, I know it's a few months away, but it's so important, because our work is in eternity, for eternity. It's not about this world. This world is just our training ground. And maybe that's what Jesus is referring to. That we, as children of God, the mass, we don't quite get it.
Well,
any thoughts?
It's kind of like, I remember hearing from ministers back in during the war that there was in Germany where there were Allied soldiers and there were German soldiers, and they went and sat in the congregation together, and they received communion together. You know, and they're at war, a world war, and they put aside their differences because they came to receive communion, right? And that's something that's very telling, that we have to put aside what our earthly things may be, even if, regardless of, you know, political or war or whatever situation, we put aside our earthly things to come before the throne of God and receive, stand before the Lord Jesus, so that we can have communion with Him. I can't bring all of my earthly things with me. I have to make the effort to set myself aside for sanctification, to receive the grace, receive the word, receive communion, and receive the communion faithfully or truthfully or adequately enough for me to receive the forgiveness of sins and receive this communion.
One thing that I wanted to add to what you're saying is, in service we heard about love God above all and all that, and with them being in war and being on separate sides, but then they're going to come into church, or even the others that they're coming into church. To me, it feels like they're putting God above everything else going on in the world.
Keeping the first commandment, mm-hmm. Him above everything.
At least in church, they're loving their neighbor.
Exactly. Kudos to them.
But that's a start, eh?
Yeah.
Sounded very Canadian right there. Hey.
Don't upset Starlight.
So, like, isn't that interesting how we have to set aside everything? You know? In order for you to receive grace, to receive love, to receive the word of God, to receive all this blessing, we have to set our nature aside to completely fulfill that communion with the Lord.
I'm just taking it all in.
I know. I was just sitting here, like, just soaking it in.
It's a whole lot of information.
It's deep. Okay. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Volunteers.
I do. So I'm in charge of worship in my congregation, and today's worship, and I pray over it and it comes out, and I feel like it is something to be shared here in this group today, and it's about, you know, we were talking about how we worship Him and we love Him and we praise Him, and we do that in every single breath that we take. And so I would like to ask everybody for a second just to do that. Take a deep breath in and out. And do you know when we do that, we're actually saying His name? It's Yahweh. Yahweh.
Wow.
That's how our breath is made. So even somebody who's an atheist, who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in anything, they do the same thing. But every time we say, we just breathe, we are actually saying his name. And when we are struggling, as we all do, and we go through something, maybe it's stress, anxiety, we got something with work, whatever it is, and we go about our day and we hit that moment where we're like, we're actually, if you listen to it, we're going, and I think that is so cool. He orchestrated us so perfectly and so purposely that when he breathed life into Adam, he did it so that we were, our very breath is his name. And I think that's just kind of cool.
One of the last services that we had recently that talked about God created everything. He created us. He created all every soul. And just what you said, of course, and it doesn't really matter what someone believes. And it's not like it doesn't matter, but regardless, they're connected to God. Because God is the creator of all of us. And even in that service, it said that everyone is a child of God because we all come from him. And as we are children of God spiritually,
today in service, it talked about using our gifts and our talents. And I mentioned how Tabitha used her gift of, you know, providing for the widows, but also to make clothing for those who were naked, you know. And I serve on the Indian reservation. And I said, but now look and see if you were the only one that knew how to make buckskin clothing for yourself, right? And you would only do it. And everybody else in the tribe is naked. You know, you would look like a weirdo. And the tribe would not like you, right? And I said, for instance, if you were the only one that knew how to make teepees, right? And you had a teepee, and the rest of the tribe was living underneath trees in the winter or in the summer, right? The tribe would not look at you in a very good light. Now, look at if you were the only one that knew how to hunt, and you did not share that knowledge, your tribe would die. This is why we have to share the gifts and talents that we have. So we teach how to hunt, we teach how to clothe, we teach how to shelter. You know, and then as we in the congregation have gifts and talents that we have to use for the members in the congregation. A lot of the things that we hear is like, we kind of like put it outward, you know, to society and to, you know, the needy, you know, we look at the needy and we look at and view like the needy that are out in the street, we're needy in the congregation. And we have to, you know, I said, people have a hard time saying, I need help. So when they ask you to pray for them, and they say, sometimes they just ask you to pray. And sometimes they say, pray for me, and they'll go, I'm having a hard time. I can't make my ends meet. I can't find a job. I can't do this or that. And that's an activity that the Holy Spirit's saying to you to go, hey, you have an opportunity for success, an opportunity to edify, to uplift somebody when they're asking for help in the congregation.
Yep. We heard
good
that.
Point.
We're all soaking it up.
I know.
It's a big
that's why role. It's not an awkward silence. It's a no. Breathing. We're soaking it up.
Thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good because I feel like I'm a weirdo.
Oh, no.
Nah. You're not weird because of that.
We're all weirdos.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of like being weird.
I can share something new on the Satanist front. There's a weird kind of energy now that's being employed to prevent us from getting out of our own space. It phases in and out. So when you try to meditate or try to concentrate or try to get to see Father, it's disruptive. And you can't do it. It's very hard to concentrate. It was brought to my attention by one of our team members. And when I go back over the last few weeks, I did have a couple mornings where I just could not connect with Father. I don't know. I really don't have any defense against it yet. I suggested to the one person that they ask Father for a dagger that you got and I got, you know, and whoever else asked for it. I'm going to try that next time to pierce that energy. It's very bizarre because you're going to basically, from my point of view, you get ready, you concentrate, and yet there's no connection. You just can't go anywhere. And then if I think back to that day was just horrible. I just could not connect. And then I forgot to ground completely. And my day just went horribly wrong. And not until about 7 o'clock did I realize I hadn't really grounded properly or had seen Father. And he reminded me and he helped me get to him to at least ground at that point. And the last few hours of the day were better. But if you get to where you just cannot connect, it's possible that this is their new tactic. So rather than trying to disrupt us with tendrils, because we know about that attack, Satan has tried this. And this is a guess. I mean, I would love other people's input over the next few weeks, you know, if email or whatever, but something to be aware of.
I'll give you some instruction. Have your lead angel just hug you. That will disrupt their power, and he'll create that wall around you so you can connect.
Oh, all right, cool.
It's not anything complicated.
Okay.
I've been having that. I've like really having a hard, I'm struggling with that. Even like preparing for service, it was just a monster struggle. I couldn't concentrate, and you know, plus I'm dyslexic, so that doesn't all, you know.
Yeah.
Well. Talk about weird, you know. But I get little gifts from above, and so I've been having a struggle, you know, and so definitely use that angel, my lead to give me a hug,
maybe a big bear hug.
Yeah, that, or you know, I was thinking maybe someone giving a stabbing, except for Sandy, because she's got knives in the house. So
it's a tolerance we talked about.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Be very careful.
Yeah.
I am menopause. You probably shouldn't have knives close by. Just saying.
I got a hint for you. A dear friend of ours was just handed off her three special needs siblings. Her dad passed away, and she's inherited this mess. And you know, the thing is, she just keeps asking Father for help, and that's such a simple thing. You know, we always say the shortest prayer is help. So we need to lean on that more, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't help but think that we can't be stopped. When we are doing what our Heavenly Father wants us to do, we cannot be stopped. And we have to remind everyone that. We mm-hmm. might be knocked off a bit, but they cannot stop us. And I can't help but just having that. I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Good.
I mean, am I off?
No.
That could be persistent.
Because, and again, it's not that we do it in anger if we, you know, we have a difficult time with these evil things that we have to deal with, but I can't be stopped. Because if there's something that has to be done, it has to be done. When we are sitting with someone, I sat with someone in the congregation today who lost his wife, and he's so lonely. And he's so alone all the time. And I just hugged him and we talked, and I thought, why didn't I do this before? You know, I'm talking to Dan. Why didn't you sit down and talk with him like this before? And he started crying because he's lonely. And I remember telling someone years ago that we go through things because we have to become who Father wants us to be so that we can help people who are going through the things that we go through. And I said, think of the lonely people who lost their spouse and got bitter and hateful and blamed God and left him and then went into eternity. You're not doing that. You are going through this, and you know, whether it's a blink, our lives are a blink. They go so fast, and in no time, we're all going to be there. And he's just nodding his head, and his eyes kind of lit up, and he started crying more. And he said, you know, you're right. And I said, pray all day. And I said, and the prayer isn't formal. Just talk to him. He says, I do. And I thought, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize that he's lonely, but all those lonely people, he understands. He has empathy for them, those who gave up and even got bitter. It was nice.
Think of in my congregation, on the reservation, there's a lot of death. There are orphans, there are widows, there are widowers, there are those that have addiction, there are broken families, but in the Indian nation, they tend to adopt each other's children. So the families, sometimes a sister will adopt another sister's child because she can't support him or take care of him. And so they naturally, it's like a really easy thing that they do, that they take care of each other and they support one another in a fashion that it's something that the European culture just doesn't understand, you know, like we have the government, or we have the orphanages, we have foster care, you know, and in the tribe, they help each other out in such a way that it's really amazing to see. how one family takes care of another family, and cousins take care of other cousins, and it's really something else. So like today's service, I told him, I said, this service is something that all of you on the Crow Reservation or the Crow Nation, you live it daily, you know. It was something else to see. It's a wonderful feeling in the congregation.
A lot of topics. I can't wait to listen to this again.
Well, we're almost out of time. Is there anything anyone would like to share?
I just have one thing, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
It's probably not something super awesome, but so our youngest daughter, Bianca, is, and I'm sorry, I didn't realize I wasn't on video. Here I am. So our youngest daughter, Bianca, is dating a boy that she's been dating since probably, I think, last August or September. And he's a nice boy. We like him a lot. And she was over there recently, and she was at his house, and he lives with his mom and his grandma. And so his grandma was showing him, or showing Bianca, pictures on her phone of Koi, like, growing up and stuff, trying to show Bianca stuff. And she's scrolling through his grandma's phone, and all of a sudden she goes, "What? Why do you have a picture of my grandma on your phone?" And she goes, "What?" And she said, "That's my grandma. Why do you have a picture of my grandma on your phone?" And it turns out that they graduated together.
Aww.
Now, keep in mind, my mom graduated with 26 people. And she was one of the 26 people.
Wow.
And they were just, Bianca goes, "Mom, Koi's grandma." And I said, and I called her right away, and I said, "Can I talk to her?" "Yeah." And so I talked to her, and I said, "I think I met you." And she said, "Yeah?" And I said, "Were you at my mom's house? I think you guys were all around her kitchen table." And she said, "Yeah, we were planning our 50th reunion." And she said, "You're the one who walked in?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember I walked in." And I said, "Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you had company. I was just coming over to grab something." And she was there. And who would have ever known?
Small world.
That now these grandkids are together, and he's such a nice kid. At least I think he is. You know, I'm mom, Jerry's dad. Yeah. So we like him. We think we like him, but, you know, we're not afraid to bury him.
Yeah.
Is that a Jersey thing too?
Wow.
He's such a nice kid. And it's just, I'm so shocked at how this happened. And I can't help but think that my mom might have had something to do with it.
Yes. Nice.
Very nice.
There's more, but I can't say.
Thanks for sharing.
Beautiful.
Yes. So I'll share the birthdays. August, Fred was on the 1st. Quasar was on the 8th. And then Starlight and Aerostar will be on the 26th. And Lauren Potthoff is on the 30th. For September, there are no birthdays. And our next team fellowship will be on Sunday, September 15th. Back to you.
Well, Quasar has volunteered to close for us tonight.
Excellent.
So,
see, sometimes I'm a good husband. Sometimes.
You're fine, dear.
Okay, thank you.
Grace.
Most times.
Lots of grace and understanding.
Loving Father, we are so happy and thankful that we are yours and that you have chosen us. You elected us before the beginning. There are so many things that are needed and necessary to take place in your work, and you've assigned us to those responsibilities that we don't even know of yet. But help us in everything that we do and all that we need, that we are always in a perfect oneness with you, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Triland, all of the guardians, all of our fellow workers, and the bride. Continue to be with us and help us. Help us, dear Father, to be more connected. We talk about that all the time, but let it be that we truly take that to heart. And that, dear Father, that when we feel ourselves and our natures, whatever it is that comes out that is us pushing our will, Father, please help us to notice that we're doing that so that we can take that step back, show the grace and the love and the caring and the kindness and the work that is needed and necessary. Let it be, dear Father, that we truly can help in every way. But we look forward to that time when you will send the Lord Jesus. Let us be worthy. Let your will be done. And dear Father, bless all of our loved ones, family, relatives, brothers and sisters in faith, and all who are in need. And even, dear Father, in our congregation, we heard that our district apostle was denied entry into Venezuela to serve your children there. And instead, he had to stay in this country and record a service in Spanish that can be sent to them. Dear Father, what a travesty that throughout this world, there are those of yours who don't have that access, and they even could lose their lives. We know you see and know, but dear Father, our hearts go out to them. All bless, strengthen, guide, and protect, and let your will be done. Lead us into our future. Bless us in this coming week to remember who we are. Please, Father, send the Lord Jesus soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. We love you guys.
Thank you.